What an amazing time in the Lord's presence. I think you'll agree it was pretty awesome worship. And it's what makes church so special. It's being at home and worshiping the Lord at home in our own quiet time, or maybe walking on the beach or climbing a mountain or walking your house. It's pretty special, praising God there. And the Lord's presence comes then and fills us, but it's something so beautiful that happens when we come together. It's such a glimpse of heaven where the Bible says that just multitudes come together and worship Him. It's like the sound of many waterfalls. Wouldn't that just be awesome? Standing in God's presence and with millions of people worshiping God. So it's so special just being able to worship God with you. And this evening, I'm wanting to share a word with you guys. The Lord laid on my heart quite a number of weeks ago. And I wasn't sure about the right time when to preach it. And I felt this weekend, it's what the Lord says, this is the time, this evening. And then earlier today, I bumped into Flo, and we were talking about still fine-tuning, me fine-tuning my sermon, him fine-tuning his worship set. And then I got here this evening, and we started worshiping the Lord, and like all the songs were like, bang, this is exactly what the Lord is saying to us. So I'm going to read a portion of scripture with you from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Okay, preaching is amazing. I love it. It still sends me into a fit of panic very often, just before I have to preach, because such a responsibility to bring the Word of God. But at the same time, it is so easy as well, because the Holy Spirit is the one that prepares hearts, and the Holy Spirit is the one that comes and breathes life. And He's the one that goes ahead of us. And so this evening, the Lord has prepared our hearts already. And I feel like what I'm sharing with you, God has already come to speak into our hearts through every song. And you guys will see where we're going in this. I'm going to read from you Ezekiel 37. And the title of my sermon is Rattle Them Bones. Rattle Them Bones. Some of you might remember the ad many years ago. Rattle Them Bones. And Ezekiel is an interesting book, an interesting prophet. He had some incredible visions that he saw. He ministered around about the same time as Jeremiah. They were contemporaries. And Ezekiel's name means the Lord strengthens, or God is my strength, or the one who strengthens, which is an amazing name that the Lord had given him. But he had an interesting life. And during his prophetic time in Israel, he prophesied during the second exile, when the people of God were punished because of their disobedience, and they were exiled to Babylon primarily. And he came to minister to them judgment on the one hand, warning them, but also prophesying about restoration, about what God would come and do in their midst. And he had an interesting life. God blessed him with this name, saying, I'm your strength, and I will strengthen people through you. But during one of his prophecies and during the time of his prophetic life, so let's call it during the time of his ministry, his wife actually died at a very young age. They were about 30 years old or so. And she died, and Ezekiel has this capacity to tap into the depths of God's glory. If you read the book of Ezekiel, you will see some incredible prophecies there that he has about seeing visions of God and seeing angelic beings, just incredible things. I think that Steven Spielberg would just, even just read Ezekiel, make a few very incredible movies. Just sinking his teeth into some of the material, the incredible beings that he sees around the throne of God. And he gets pictures and visions of God's presence and God's holiness that is incredible. But at the same time in his life, he had this pain that he obviously had to deal with. This thing in his life that happened. And that is what I believe God is wanting to cement in our hearts as a congregation. That there's an avenue through our pain into the glory and the splendor of God. An avenue, a door that God has made available to us that we very often, because of our humanity, shy away from. But I believe God is wanting to anoint us this evening and give us the strength to tap into what He has made available for us. So let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we can be in Your presence tonight. We are so aware of the fact that You are here. We are so aware of the fact, God, that You have called us by name tonight, each and every one of us, and we are not here simply to pass time, simply to have nice coffee together afterwards. We are here to meet with you. And we thank you that you have already met with us, God, and you have already begun to set things in motion in our heart, maybe that we can't even articulate at this present moment, but you are already busy working. I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is anointed. I thank you that it is your word that changes lives, Lord. I thank you that it is your word that opens our eyes and enables us to see you clearly, God, so that we can be renewed and transformed in the renewing according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, it says, "The hand of the Lord and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones." And I give this first verse the title, "A Tour Through Death Valley," because it is interesting what God does here with Ezekiel. He says that the hand of the Lord came upon me. Okay, God's hand was upon Ezekiel, taking him to a very specific place, taking him to an environment that wasn't comfortable, an environment that wasn't pleasant. You know, we read Psalm 23, and I'm sure many of you guys have read it. Let me just get rid of this. Many of you guys have let me pretend the psalm is on. Yeah, there we go. Many of us have read Psalm 23, and we are familiar with the fact that God comes and God says, "I'm your shepherd, and I want to lead you. I want to lead you into green pastures. I want to lead you beside still waters. I've got this incredible place for you that I want to lead you into." But right in the middle of all of this pleasantness, there's also this little thing called the valley of the shadow of death. And I don't know about you, but that's not a place where I want to stay too long. You know, I want to make sure that I get through that valley. I don't want to camp there too long. I want to get to the table that has been prepared for me. But I've understood that in my own life, very often, I miss out on a lot of the treasures that God has for me. Treasures that are actually hidden and buried within that very same valley of the shadow of death. Because the amazing thing here that Ezekiel understood and that David understood as well is that there is no place in our lives that the hand of God cannot reach us. There's no place in our lives we are cut off from the love and the reach and the compassion and the mercy and the grace of God. And that for us as believers, there's a great truth that we need to embrace at this time in our lives, irrespective of where we are, irrespective of whether you are just feeding yourself, eating till you can't eat anymore in the goodness of God. Or whether you find yourself in a place maybe where it's dark and you can't remember the last time when you had a touch from God. Irrespective of where you are, as a believer, God's hand is upon your life. You have to have that reality live in your heart. You have to have that reality be the lenses through which you look at life. And Ezekiel understood this and he said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." And I want to say this to each and every one of you as you're sitting here, that the hand of the Lord is upon you. You carry His fingerprint. You are all over your body and all over your life are the fingerprints of God. It started with you even before you woke up from your mother's womb, where David says, God has fashioned you and He has put you together and He has made you fearfully and wonderfully. Knit you together in the secret parts of your mother's womb. Nobody else was involved. God put you together. So you carry the fingerprints of God. If you were to do a spiritual CSI on yourself and dust yourself off, you would see God's fingerprints all over you. God is involved in your life. The way in which we surrender to that involvement, of course, is one of the keys, determining whether we resist His working or whether we flow with His working. And I see this in Ezekiel's life, that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and I want to venture a guess that if Ezekiel had a choice, he probably would not have gone where God was taking him out of his own free volition. He probably would not have chosen that destination. But he submitted and yielded himself to the hand of God. And so the hand of the Lord comes upon him and brings him out in the spirit of the Lord and sets him down in the midst of the valley. Not just any valley, he says. He describes this valley. It was full of bones. So the hand of the Lord is upon him, and then he goes on to say that God brings him out of his natural condition. I don't know whether he was eating pizza or whether he was having a nice braai with his friends, but God's hand comes upon him, transports him into the spirit, and shows him stuff that he couldn't see in the natural. Shows him stuff that he couldn't see if he was just obsessed and just focused on the things that he can touch and the things that he can feel. And we had this word earlier on, I believe, in the service, saying that we've got a break ahead of us. We've got a holiday ahead of us. We've got incredible times that we're looking forward to. Times maybe of lying by the beach or walking up in the mountains or breaking away to Switzerland or to wherever you're privileged to go, or maybe just staying behind but having a good time at home. But the reality is, I believe with all of my heart, that God has got a destination for us in the spirit that we as believers and as a group of people cannot afford not to enter into. That He has a place that He has prepared for us. But we live according to the spirit and not according to what we see. So are you ready to see that place? Are you prepared in your heart that maybe whilst you're driving or whilst you're playing ping pong with your kids, that God will want to show you something? While you making your afternoon nap and warding off the mozzies, that God wants to show you something? While you're busy with your Christmas shopping, that God wants to take you somewhere that you cannot go if you are just stuck in the natural. If you are just stuck in a mindset that says this is holiday time, so it is switching off time from God's presence. It's switching off from being so religious and not being so kerkerig. But there's a destination, I believe, that God is wanting to take us that's going to change our lives. And it's to be found only in the Spirit. It's to be found in that place where the Spirit of God comes, shows us stuff, opens up our ears, things we cannot see and things we cannot hear in the natural. Places we can't go by ourselves unless the Spirit of God comes. So I've told God, and I've prayed one of those prayers again. I said, God, this is probably not a prayer that I should be praying if I just want to have a lekker, rustig, relaxing weekend or holiday. Come and do with me what you want to do over this holiday. Come and have your way with me. Come and show me stuff. Come and break me down. Come and build me up. But have it according to your way, your will. I was sharing last week, we did the recording for the Eresgier Christmas message. And I was sharing with the folks around the danger of reducing Christ to a little baby in a manger. That the spirit of the age that we are living in wants to get us to the place where we reduce Jesus to this vulnerable, powerless little baby, which He was, but which He isn't anymore. He's now the exalted one. The one worthy of our praise, the one who has a claim on our lives. And if we want to have Christ live in our lives and live through our lives, then we need to have that revelation beating inside of us that He has overcome the power of death. That is the God that we serve. And so God takes Ezekiel. We don't have the time card, say, because I've got a sneaky suspicion I'm going to lose it in terms of the time. But the Lord is with me as He was with Ezekiel. So we'll get there. We'll get to the place where the Lord wants us to go. So He takes him out in the Spirit of the Lord, sets him down in the midst of the valley. And I looked at this and I thought, man, Ezekiel at one stage, he saw these cherubim, you know, these massive angels, eyes from the outside, eyes from the inside, six wings, just incredible angelic beings. Describes them as, he saw like a wheel within a wheel, just in the presence of God, these massive beings. And I thought, God, why couldn't you take Ezekiel, put him on one of these angelic wings, and just fly over Death Valley with him? If I were Ezekiel, I would have preferred that. God, you could have just flown over this place with me. You know, like we sometimes fly over South Africa, we fly over the squatter camps, we fly over the different neighborhoods. Let's just fly over. Let's pray from a distance. But God comes and God puts him smack bang in the middle of this valley. He says, God puts me in the midst of this valley that's full of dry bones. And I've got a suspicion that many of us might, even over this Christmas time, over this holiday, might be going places with our family. Maybe going back to a grandpa or grandma or father or mom they haven't seen in a while, or having to come together with family celebration that you might not be looking forward to. And it will be in the midst of things reminding you of death. In the midst of things reminding you of stuff you actually want to ignore or get away from. And I want to encourage you not to grow despondent and to understand that the hand of God is upon you. That He is putting you right in the middle of that situation. Because he's got a purpose. Because he's got a plan. Some of you might be working in work environments where you experience that place to be like a death valley. But you experience it as, Ezekiel says, to be full of bones. He goes on and he describes it in verse 2. He says, then God caused me to pass by these bones all around. And behold, they were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. So God gives him this like 3D perspective. He puts him in the middle of this valley. And then he says, okay, now you're going to walk through these bones, Ezekiel. And you're going to look at them from different angles. And you're going to see that not only are there many bones, but you're going to see that they are very dry. The scripture emphasizes this. It says, they were very many and they were very dry. Like dead. There's no life there. And that's sometimes a challenge for us as believers, where moments like this is so precious. Moments like this is so amazing in the presence of God. Where we're surrounded by life and we feel God's presence. And God then says, Monday, go back to your work environment. People are swearing all the time. Or people are wanting to take shortcuts and not pay their taxes, or get you to not be honest in some of your dealings, or whatever that situation might be. And some of you might have taken a look at your heart from time to time. And you might have made an assessment of what's going on in your heart. Maybe not your entire heart, but one or two places in there where you look at that and you see, man, this is full of bones. This area of my life, there are a lot of bones there. In other words, it does not testify of God's life and his life in abundance. It's dry. It's creaking. And it just doesn't excite me. You know, often for us as dads, as our kids bring us to that place, in your patience, or you know, just in places in your life where you find, oh my goodness, you know, there's some dry spots in my heart. I know you can't relate. You're always so patient with your kids. But you know, for myself, I sometimes realize that, oh my word, I didn't know that was in my heart. You know, you don't sleep enough, and then you know you trying to work on a message and your kids come in, they want to play with you, and then you say something you shouldn't say, and like, whoa, God, you need to come and work on my heart here. Some stuff hidden there. And I want to encourage you, I don't know what the measure of your dryness is. Some of you might not even be able to, you can't remember anything dry in your life. Praise God. You know, I don't want you to go and now look for the dryness. Okay? But this is a word of encouragement that if you are finding yourself in a situation where you are experiencing a lack of life, where you are experiencing that John 10:10 doesn't manifest, where Jesus says, I've come so you can have life and have it in abundance. In other words, it's running over. It's pouring out of your pores. You can't stop talking about it. Spring in all its glory. If there's an area of your life that doesn't manifest, then I want to encourage you. Don't run away from it. Many, many years ago, we had the Word of Faith movement that swept through the church, where the Lord came and he restored our concept of faith. In other words, that we can trust God. We can believe him. But then it went a little bit overboard and people started just claiming things by faith and writing our checks by faith and giving answers in the exam by faith without studying. And it just became foolishness. After a while. Because sometimes it's easier to just ignore what's going on at home. Just ignore that I'm going through a tough patch with my wife. Just ignore that I don't like my boss. Just ignore that I'm struggling to make ends meet. Or just ignore that my body hurts. Faith doesn't talk about ignoring stuff. It talks about looking at the dry bones through God's perspective. Looking at the dry bones, walking around it from different angles and seeing, yes, they are very many, and yes, they are very dry. But hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. There is also a God who led me to this place. If you get to a valley of dry bones without God, you are in serious trouble. If you are confronted by death without hope, without a living God, then you have reason to feel depressed and reason to feel hopeless. My heart this weekend just broke for the Australian cricket team. It was just brought forcibly home to me. I watched the news conference that Michael Clark did, reading the statement. Phil Hughes, I think it was Saturday. When was it? Friday, Thursday, sometime during the week. Missed the bouncer, tried to hook it, ball hit him behind the head, soft spot, fell over dead, basically. A shock to all of those guys. And you look at these indestructible, gigantic, larger than life sport personalities in the prime of their life, on top of their game. And death comes and levels the playing field again. It doesn't matter whether you're in India, whether you're in Africa, whether you play for the B team, whether you play international cricket, death comes for us all. And without Christ, the hope of glory, it is tough dealing with that. And our hope is that irrespective of whether God comes and God heals us now or one day, heal us, God will, for us as believers. That's our hope. Whatever happens to these bodies now, one day everything will be perfected. One day God will make all things new. And for as long as there's life, there is hope, and we will hold on to God and say, God, like we're doing now for this boy, we are declaring your life. We are speaking your purposes and your will, and we are holding on to you. But God, we've got a hope even beyond what happens to him, and for his family. By the Lord of the resurrection who came to destroy the power of death. And so my prayer for us is to know this. It's not a question of if you get to the valley of the shadow of death. It's not a question of will you get there. The question is when you get there, will you have the eyes of the Spirit to look at those dry bones the way God wants you to? And so God comes and speaks to Ezekiel and says to him, Son of man, can these bones live? And so he gives the best answer possible for himself there. He says, O Lord God, you know. I love this about Ezekiel. Ezekiel comes in and he was in the middle of this valley and he had made a study of these bones and his heart was probably just like, there's no way. God, these bones are dead. There's no way they can live. He goes back to God and says, God, you know. You've got a perspective, God. And I'm open for what you want to say. I'm not going to project my perspective onto you. There's a vulnerability also in that question or in that answer. Sometimes we're so afraid within church when we are confronted with a crisis to take a risk and to say, God, we're going to step out in faith here. Are we going to ask you? Are we going to open up our hearts and say, God, what is your will? God, what are you saying? Because what if you make a mistake? What if you miss it? Some of us as guys, we understand that, don't we? Those of us with the ladies next to us, we understand the risk that it took for you to step out and say, will you trust me? Will you allow me to pursue you? And for as long as fear has a hold of your heart, you will never step out. Guys, in chasing after that girl. And there are no guarantees that it will work out. No guarantees. She can bat you and hit you out of the park for a six on the first date. There are no guarantees. Some of us want the angel to appear to us and give us the exact word before we move. Love does not come without a risk. There's always risk involved when it comes to faith and to love. But boy, is it worth the price. Is it worth the price? Is it worth having that? Just that knowledge, it's worth it. God came through for us. Some of you have to give God permission again just to be God in your life. An area of your life. It's maybe dry. Where you've tried everything. You've fasted. You've prayed. You have anointed. You have delivered yourself and asked other people to deliver you as well. But it still seems dry. You need to take that area back to God and say, God, you know. You have a will. You have a purpose. And I'm submitting to that. Then verse 4, and here it comes. And so God comes to him and says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And I love this. Ezekiel is challenged by God to prophesy. What does it mean? It means we speak God's will. It's not going into deep trance necessarily and getting all spooky, but it is taking God's will and speaking God's will over your circumstances and not allowing your circumstances to dictate to you how you should live and whether bones can live and whether God can come through for you. But you prophesy. You open your mouth. It's very difficult to prophesy with your mouth closed. You have to open your mouth. Some of us need to get to the place where ons net profiteer gedurende lof, praising and aanbidding. Where you just sing a song. Maybe you don't feel like, God, you're my everything, because your actions yesterday proved that God isn't your everything. Maybe you didn't experience a wealth of life. You didn't experience the breath of God. But you take that song and you sing it as a prophecy over your life. You sing it as a prophecy over your kids to come. I remember years ago, I came back from the States. I was supposed to go for 3 years. I only lasted a year. It was a terrible year in my life. But it was an amazing year as well, because God came to crystallize for me my purpose. I understood what it was that God had called me to do, but my avenue into my purpose was through my tears, was through my pain, was through my failure, was through my disappointment. And in that, I met God. Got these few photographs I took of my flat where I lived, this carpet. Man, I'd soaked that carpet in tears many times. Wept and cried out to God. I said, God, what the heck is going on? Why isn't my prayers from last year working? The stuff that worked back in South Africa. All my dreams to stay there for 3 years, come back with oodles of money, start my own school. And everything worked out. None of that worked out. Except for God's purpose, which was so much better than what I thought. And I remember, I rebuked those 15 minutes in Jesus' name. I was ever being in denial. Oh man, help me, Jesus. I remember coming back, and I was in a relationship with a young lady. Her name was also Nikki, as my wife's name is. Yeah, so at least I had the right name. I just missed the face, but it was the right name. And so Nikki and myself, we did marriage prep twice. We went to the same marriage prep class with Pastor William. I did it with other Nikki, and my Nikki did it with someone else. Yes. So we sat there and we did marriage prep. And it was during marriage prep that I realized that this Nikki wasn't the Nikki for me. I didn't realize then that the other Nikki was the one. I just realized with all the wisdom that they imparted into my heart, I realized, no, this is not going to work. But I had made some promises. I bought this amazing woman in beautiful necklace, and I said, this is my promise to you that I will come, I'll go back to the States. And I made a lot of promises to her. And when it didn't work out, I was shattered. It was my first girlfriend. I was 26. I waited my entire life. And so I so desperately wanted this to succeed, desperately needed this to succeed, so at least I could have something to look back on for that year in America. Does that make sense to you? Just, if at least this relationship works, then it makes it worth it. Then it didn't work. It was a mess. It's an absolute mess. God came and He redeemed it and brought something very beautiful out of it. But I remember standing in church one day in Kutzenberg in the DF Milan. Standing there, and I'm like shattered. I said, God, I'm now going to worship You as if I'm standing next to my bride that You have for me. I'm going to worship You with her and with my kids that You have given me, that You have seen, that You have predestined. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to enter into the song prophetically, Heinrich Titus, with his wife and with his family that You have for me. I remember just singing song after song prophetically over my wife and over my kids, creating a destiny for them to walk in. Some of you need to grab a hold of your destiny in worship. You've got to say, my wife exists. If you're not married yet, I've got good news for you. She's alive. Okay? And God somewhere is busy preparing her. And you need to start praying for her. You need to start reading up on being the best husband you can be. Get words and pray those words. Prophesy. Some of you, God has given you words for businesses and for incredible stuff that you need to start. You need to start reading up on those things. You need to start getting God's word into your heart so you can prophesy it. When you fail again at trying to do something, And the devil comes and the devil says, you see, failure written all over you. How dare you dream big? How dare you believe things can be different? You need to take ownership and say, I'm going to prophesy what God says. I'm going to speak God's life. I'm going to declare. If I don't have a word, then I'm going to sing it. You need to enter into this place during times of praise and worship. You need to see it as your time of prophecy. And you sing those songs over your sexuality. You sing those songs over your barrenness, over your finances, over your marriage, over your kids, and you prophesy. Oh, dry bones. He speaks to the bones. He says, hear the word of the Lord. Conflict, despair, hopelessness, lust, shame. Hear the word of the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has been given a name above every other name. There's nothing in this world that you cannot name. Nothing. Some of you need to go and sit down, take out a piece of paper and write down the stuff that is confronting you. Write it down. Give it a name. What are you feeling? I mean, it's okay to feel. But you need to ask God, God, what am I feeling? Is it hopelessness? Is it anger? Is it shame? Man, and as soon as you've given it a name, you put it down on paper and you say, bloodline curse of lust, you hear the word of God. You will not determine my life. You will not determine my productivity. You will not determine my identity. Jesus Christ forges my identity. You speak to that thing and declare what the Lord is saying. So thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely, and ye are the songs we sang, surely I will cause breath to enter into you. Eh? And you shall live. Breath is a word sometimes translated wind, sometimes translated spirit. Whenever it speaks about God's life, the Ruach of God. It's the same breath that God used when he created Adam. And Adam was just a lump of clay. He made him from the ground. And then he knelt over him and he breathed life into him. And the Bible says Adam became a living soul. Some of us are stunted. I just have this word over and over in my heart. Some of us as men, we're stunted in our emotions. We're completely out of touch with our emotions because of trauma that we experienced at home when we were younger. God wants to come and breathe life into your emotions so you can be connected to your emotions, so that you can be connected to your wife and connected to your kids. So you don't look at emotions as a necessary evil to tolerate. God has given them to us because God is emotional. He's emotional. He gets excited and he gets sad. What is that? It's an emotion. God gets emotional and he wants us. Some of us has destiny locked up in our lungs. But we're not emotional enough. We're not angry enough with what the devil is doing. We're not excited enough about God is holding me for us. And he's wanting to release a cry from your spirit that comes when you are connected with the emotions God has placed in you. And he wants to release that through us tonight. Surely I will cause breath. I will breathe upon you. Breath will come into you and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. Cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. So God gives him the word. And he says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. A noise coming. Something that he heard before he saw it. I was standing here tonight and I was hearing something in the spirit. I was hearing about what the Lord is wanting to do through this evening service group. I'm so excited. I'm going to explode because God is wanting to scatter and send people from this place. Not just in terms of church life, but outside of the borders and the boundaries of church. He's wanting to scatter us. And he's wanting to use you to bring forth life, even into our morning services. Some of you guys need to come to the morning service because God wants to use your faith. He wants to use your passion to release stuff over the morning services. And you need to engage with the fact that God has placed you here to be a blessing also to the older generation and to the generation with kids. You need to embrace that. And so he prophesies, he hears this noise, and suddenly the bones start rattling. Rattle them bones. There comes there's a coming together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. I don't know whether you have experienced this in your life, but God says something to you. Man, reconcile with your dad. Don't wait for your dad to say sorry or to say that he loves you. You go to him and you say, "Dad, I love you. I'm so thankful for who you are in my life." And then there's an awkward silence, maybe a handshake or maybe a hug or, okay, rechswe. And it doesn't pan out. That valley of dry bones doesn't become this immediately glorious, beautiful thing. Like there. Ezekiel prophesied, didn't he? And there was a noise and the bones started coming together and sinews and flesh came upon them. But there still wasn't life. Life still wasn't there. But hang on a minute. Life was on its way. Life was on its way. Things were coming together. Healing, restoration happens in stages, people. Growth is exactly that. Growth. God says in Ecclesiastes, He makes all things beautiful in His time. All things beautiful in His time. Some of you have stepped out in faith and you've begun to see a change and then it stopped. And you're like, "Did I hear God wrong? Did I do something wrong?" No. Just stay in the process. There are no quick fixes to lasting fruit. You need grace, you need truth, and you need time. You need grace, you need truth, and you need time. But if you know that life is on its way, it changes everything. Because you know, man, I can see, okay, this thing isn't living yet, but a moment ago, these bones were all over the place. Now, suddenly, these bones are together. And flesh is upon it. So yes, I'm not the guy that I want to be, but I know for sure I'm not the guy that I was. There's change taking place. And I know God isn't finished with me yet. I'm not the finished article. He's still got a long way to go with me. But I know my revelation of Jesus is deeper than what it was 2 weeks ago. I am changing. I am being transformed into the image of Christ. Some of you performance freaks, to just give yourself a break. Come to God and say, "God, I am lying face down on the floor for you to do things according to your pace. I must stop putting pressure on myself to change myself," because guess what does God say? He says, "My spirit will come into them." You can't make yourself alive. You can't resurrect yourself. You can just speak what God is saying. And then He does it. I can't change you through our preaching. We can't change you through our Bible school and through all this stuff. We cannot change anyone. The Spirit of God does that. The Spirit of God does that. Like only He can. And so God comes to him and says to him, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them. He didn't give up. I want to encourage you over this holiday, don't give up. Don't give up. When you're away from believers, you're away from your small group, you're away from a Sunday morning or Sunday evening service, things feel heavy and dark. Don't give up. Keep on prophesying. Keep on speaking what God is saying over your life. And prophesy to life. Prophesy to your joy. I often say to myself when I get up, "Joy, you will come. I receive you. I will have you. I will have this day to be a joyous, joyful day." I've discovered I cannot be passive around the promises of God. I cannot be passive around them. I have to say, "God, you said that your kingdom is in righteousness, peace, and joy, and that is going to be my life. And I want it. So I'm going to prophesy to it. I'm going to say, joy, peace, hope. You've got a destination. That destination is my heart. Come. And I thank God for it. I say, God, I thank you that your joy is my strength. Baptize me again in it. Some of you need to speak. It says here the breath with four different corners. Some of your joy has been scattered. Some of your hope has been scattered. Some of your provision has been scattered. Some of your innocence has been scattered. Some of your purity has been scattered all over the place, lying in different people's hearts and in circumstances. You need to go to specific moments and people in the spirit. This is what I'm talking about. Where God will come in the spirit if you ask him and say, who did you give your joy to? Was it the teacher that shamed you in front of the other ones? Was it the police officer or a traffic cop or a grandpa or someone that took something from you? You go in the spirit and you say, I am now releasing you, uncle, for robbing me of my innocence, forcing me to grow up, robbing me of my purity as a girl. I'm releasing, I'm forgiving you. And Jesus, I receive my purity from you. You have to do it. You have to speak to your valley of dry bones. I can't. No one else can. You have to speak to it. We can agree and we can create the atmosphere for you. Look at verse 11. Then he said to me, I know my time is up, but what is the time? What's the physical time? 7:45. Okay. Oh, that's enough time. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. In other words, when people saw bones, God saw a house. It was just a valley, just dry bones. God saw something else. Saw something beautiful. The whole house of Israel, they indeed say our bones are dry, feeling old. You know, sometimes at the end of the year, you feel just like old, like, oh, need a break. Tired of fighting. Our hope is lost. And we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your grave and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. And I believe that as we're going into these last few weeks of the year, it's a time where God is calling many of us forth. Step out of your low self-esteem. Step out of your small thinking, your small dreaming. Step out of everything that this year has tried to put upon you. You know, sometimes you go through a year, and 2014 has a label that the world, the devil wants to put on you. And when you think of 2014, 2 years from now, wants you to think of it as a frustrating year. Wants you to think of it as a year of lost opportunities. Or a year of, I stood in faith, God, and it didn't happen. There's a label that the devil wants to put upon this year for you. You've got to say no. This year, it's a year of life. When I think back on 2014, I might see a few bones, but I will definitely see life. I will see life. Because where other people see bones, and we see pain and hopelessness and dryness, God sees, as he says, in verse 10, they lived, they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Where did the great army come from? It came from the bones. Right? Came from the bones. It came from the very place that was very dry and full of very bones. I've experienced this over and over and over again. It might work differently for other people, but in my life, I've experienced that the key into God's anointing and into God's fullness for me often lies through my weaknesses. Lies through the areas in my life where if God doesn't breathe upon me, man, I'm toast. I am the worst of the worst. If God's spirit doesn't come and do something for me that I cannot do for myself. But the areas where I can do it, the areas where I can manage it, man, that very often doesn't testify of God so much. It's okay, and it's doing well, but I'm talking about a place where God's glory rests. Some of you need to look differently at your dry bones. God wants to show you that army. He wants to show you that destiny. He wants to show you, even if that army for you is just your wife and your kids, that army for you is the man and the woman God has given you that is working for you. You need to look at them differently and see what God has in store. I'm going to read one last story and I'm going to be finished by 8. John 11, verse 28. Because I want to just take you into the New Testament. Because Ezekiel speaks about this valley of dry bones. And then we see Jesus, and Jesus gets the news one day that his very good friend Lazarus is dead. And then Jesus says, okay, he's very sick, let's stay here 2 days longer. So like, whoa, come on, Jesus. Didn't you hear it? Lazarus needs you. Jesus stays 2 days longer until eventually he dies. And then Jesus enters the town of Bethany, and Martha runs up to Jesus and she meets him. And she says something amazing in verse 25, verse 22. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. There's something amazing about Martha. Sometimes we think of Martha as this woman that was just working hard and didn't have any faith. But she actually had faith in her heart. There was something there. So Jesus chats with her and Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Then we go to verse 28, and this is where we pick up the story. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as Mary heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. And this is my heart's desire for you tonight, that you wouldn't hear Heinrich's voice, that you wouldn't hear me giving you a technique for prophesying, how to deal with dry bones, but that you would hear Jesus calling you. Because Mary was sitting, grieving and mourning, surrounded by people in her house because her brother died. But then she got this word, Mary, Jesus is calling you. And his voice called her out of her pain. His voice called her out of just the devastation of the moment. And she arose quickly. And my desire for us is, saints, that we will be like Mary. That when Jesus speaks to us, we will arise quickly. When we hear his voice, we will respond quickly. Because that is the key to life. It's at his feet. And then she goes in and she's upset with Jesus. And she says to Jesus, Jesus, the fan keeps on blowing my page away. The breath coming from that side, the wind. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I love this about Christ. He doesn't send her away and say to her, how dare you blame me, woman? There's something about the voice of God that is not afraid of our questions. The presence of God that is not intimidated by our humanity to just have answers. That he's not offended and put off when we ask him the questions. Not other people. She could have stayed in the house and she could have said to the people mourning with her, the cheek of that Jesus. He comes here days late and now he wants to see me. He can forget it. No. She goes to him and she asks him. She says to him, she moans to him, moan up, all right? When you've got stuff in your life not making sense to you, moan up. Moan to Jesus. Jesus, that woman that you've given me, oh. My wife prays it a lot more than I do. That husband, guy, help me. Our brains are so completely different. Completely different. We need Jesus. And he comes and he brings the perspective and he brings the beauty into it. Some of you have got stuff that you are not honest about because you feel you shouldn't have those questions. Take them to Jesus. Lay them at his feet. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Emotions stirring in Jesus' heart. Jesus connects with her emotions. He understands her humanity. He connects with her. Something happens to him. We have this high priest that knows that we are but flesh, knows what we feel like. And so when he calls you, I want you to know this. He calls you knowing that you need him. He calls you knowing how you feel. And he says, it's okay. It's okay to come just as you are. You don't have to pretend with me. I read something the other day where someone said, we often in the church, we pretend to be perfect and get worse. In a place like the AA, they forbid you from pretending. They actually become better. They know they're not perfect. We must let go of the pretenses. Take you to God and say, God, this is how I feel. And Jesus then says to her, where have you laid him? And they said to him, look, come and see. And then just such a profound verse for me in the Bible, two words. Jesus wept. Some of you feel that Jesus is very cold towards your pain. You should have been over it by now. Your heart touches him. There's no other God that wept when he was confronted with people's hurt. Jesus knows and he understands. But it's not just the powerless God that just weeps with us. Verse 36 says, the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, that word there means ebrimanomai. It means to express a deep emotion. Jesus groans in himself, comes to the tomb. It says it was a cave and a stone lay against it. And then Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. That wasn't a deep sleep. He was dead. But Jesus isn't afraid of the stench. Some of you have been carrying stuff that's been dead in your life for many, many years. Don't be afraid of the stench. Jesus isn't. Don't be afraid to bring it to him again. Jesus isn't. He's not afraid of how dark it is. He's not afraid. He doesn't care how many abortions it was. He doesn't care how many times you pump that needle into your veins. He doesn't care how many times you try to cut your veins. He's not afraid of the pain or the stench of our humanity. He isn't. He says, roll away that stone. And Jesus says to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Oh, God calling out to us beyond the grave, stirring our hearts. Say, come on, Sid, Heinrich, Cornelius, Nick, come on. You are not meant to live amongst the dead. Come out. What is fascinating, however, is this one thing. Jesus says first to the people, roll away the stone. There's a partnership between us and God. Roll away the stone. Roll it away. I want people to hear me and to see me. Then he goes on and he calls Lazarus forth. And he says, loose him and let him go. We can stand. I want to pray for us. Two things. There's some of us here and you have been called by God and you have heard his voice. And God has called you out of the grave. You've heard his voice, but you're still in the tomb a little bit. The tomb of just the hurt and the anger, the resentment of people that have hurt you. People that have maybe betrayed you. People that have done you in. And the gravestone has been rolled away. And his voice is calling you, but you've got to step out. You've got to say, I'm walking away from these things wanting to hold me back. Wanting to cause me to dream
small dreams, wanting to keep me in survival mode, wanting me to dumb down on my expectations of God, wanting me to think that I'm simply going to get by in life and the freedom that other people are experiencing in worship or the fact that they've got a beautiful family, I'm just going to be in the outside. I'm just going to hear about the life. I'm not going to experience it myself. God says, no. His voice comes to you and says, come on. I'm calling you forth because I want to pour out my spirit into you. Believers, that God has a purpose for us as a congregation. And that purpose goes back to us bringing our dry bones to God and saying, God, come. Jesus. It's not about the techniques. It's about bringing our lives to Christ, to His Lordship. And I want you just to close your eyes because I want... Renee, are you guys ready to play that song for me? And I want you guys just to close your eyes. It's called Bones. And if you have bones in your life, if you, maybe even as I was talking, the Holy Spirit, let's just close our eyes. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just bring to our minds an illumination. That your hand would come upon us, Lord, as it came upon Ezekiel. That you would transport us now, God, into that time or into that moment, into that area of our lives where we are not experiencing your life and your life in abundance. That place in our hearts, Lord, where the bones are dry and our hope has been lost and we feel that we are cut off. Maybe not entirely, but we feel that we are cut off in that area. As if there's a blockage, as if our veins are clogged up by cholesterol. And we don't feel the life flowing into those areas of our lives. So you will show that to us right now. Thank you that you bring illumination. We welcome you here, Spirit of Prophecy. We thank you, Lord, that you still breathe upon dry bones and you still cause life to come upon it. And I now speak the spirit of revelation and understanding to come upon our minds. To show us exactly, exactly that one area that you wanted to touch tonight. That one area that you wanted to breathe upon tonight. I speak an end to confusion and condemnation in Jesus' name and to all religious interference right now in Jesus' name. And we welcome you, Spirit of Prophecy, to have your way. To bring us understanding. Stir faith in our hearts. For some of you, God is going to stir a cry in your heart as we're going to continue to worship God, that you're going to cry out. It's going to be a cry and a shout of freedom. Some of you, God is going to show you just where you've buried your desire to be vulnerable. I have this picture of a little boy in his room and a woman standing over you with this black belt. And you look up at a face and you see a lot of anger there. And in that moment, you buried your capacity to be vulnerable with a woman. You made a vow and you said that you will never again trust the way that you trusted your mother. You will never again expose yourself to woman's anger, allow her to hurt you the way you were hurt in that moment. And you buried your capacity to be vulnerable with those closest to you. And this morning, this evening rather, God is wanting to breathe upon that. He's wanting to speak to the dry bones of your emotional connectedness. There's about 5 or 6 guys here. You struggle to connect emotionally with people around you. Your conversations are topical. Hulle is oppervlakkig. En jy gaan nooit diep met enige iemand nie. Maar ek kom uit in woede bye alleen by die huis. Of ek kom uit in verslawings met allerhande goed. And God is saying, I'm wanting to reconnect you to my heart tonight. But you've got to bring that dry bone of isolation in your heart, the hardness to Him. Because He's wanting to breathe upon it and bring life. There's a girl here as well and you carry a deep sense of regret with you. It's like this bone sits in your throat. You sometimes choke when you eat and you struggle with just looking after yourself physically. You would eat and then to regurgitate the food quite a lot. Because you actually Don't think that you should be alive. This is something that you've done. And Jesus says that he loves you. And he says he doesn't want you to go through life choking on regret. And choking on the self-condemnation. And he has paid the price for you. He died for what you have done so that you can be free. Be the glorious princess that he has created you to be. You've got a calling to sing, but your voice has been choked. And the Lord is wanting to restore that tonight. The power of his Spirit. So guys, I want you to play that song. And I want us just to close our eyes. If God is speaking to you, even if he's speaking to you, I want you, like Lazarus, step out of your grave. Come to the front. Because we want to release this life over you. I believe the Spirit of life is in this place. It's not for no reason that this word was laid on my heart for this weekend where we are confronted with the reality of death. I believe God is wanting to put a marker down in the sand tonight for us as a church that his life will manifest. It will manifest. But we've got to respond and, like Mary, come quickly. So Renee, just play that song for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, God, we worship you. We worship you, God. We thank you that you, as the resurrected Christ, that you are alive in us, God. We thank you that we are not children of death. We are not children of despair. We are not children of hopelessness, God. We are not without hope in this world, but you are Christ, the hope of glory that lives in us, my God. And I thank you, Lord, that as we go into these last few weeks of this year, Father, that we can know that you still have so much life in store for us. You still have for us, Lord God, so much that we are yet to tap into. And I thank you, Lord, that you are calling us into that place, Lord, where it is your life that will break through. As some of us here, the Lord says, I've called you to unwrap my people. I've called you to loose them from the grave clothes. And I've anointed even this church to be a place where those who still carry the stench of death upon them, those that I've released, those that I've called, but those who still stink like death, those who still look like death, those who still talk like death, those who still are in need of knowing that they are alive and have been made alive. I have created this place to be a place where grave clothes can be removed. Loose them, my people. Loose them and let them go into my destiny for their lives. And I believe that there are a few of us here and we need to embrace God's call upon us to be touched in our spirits like Jesus was when Jesus groaned in front of the grave. When he released something from his emotional tank, released faith that was stirred because he felt the pain of those around him, felt the Father's heart. And I believe that for us, even this evening crowd, that God is calling us into a place of an intercessory calling that he has for us to connect with people's pain, but more than that, to connect that pain to the life of Christ. But we're not going to get there unless we allow our hearts to be touched and allow him to move through us. So if you are here and you have some bones you need to just bring to Christ, please come forward. If you are here as well, you know God has called you to be his hands. A very specific way God is calling you to just love people. He might have anointed you with deliverance, inner healing or counseling. I don't want you to get particular about the technique, but just to avail yourself and say, God, I want you to use these hands to loose those who need a touch from you, to just love them. To love them into their wholeness. Love them into their destiny. We want to pray with you and we want to anoint you to flow in that.
Now I'm going to pray for us. And if you need to go, then you go. But I would like us just to sing a few more songs, just welcoming the Spirit of God and awakening. So my heart for us. God would come and He would awake us, our hearts this evening. But let me pray for you and release the service. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we could step into Your presence tonight. We thank You for Your hand that's upon each one of these precious people. Your hand that is, Lord, I'm so excited about these next few days. Because I just see these destinations, these places that Your hand is taking so many of us to. And I sense in my heart that the Lord is taking some of us as You go into the next phase of this year, last few weeks. God is going to take you on a journey back into your childhood, and it's going to bring tremendous healing. Tremendous, tremendous healing. Don't fear your family time. Some of us here, you've got a great fear for your family time together. God says, don't fear it. Don't fear it. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to cover you. And don't allow the pain to cause you to shy away. So I've called you to let My people go. I'm going to use you to bring healing. But allow Me just to love on you. Come sit at My feet. So Father, bless Your people. Save journeys, Lord. Many of us who are already going away, You bless them, Father. Protect them. Cover them. Wherever we go, Lord, where we experience the breath of God breathing through us, may the Spirit of prophecy rest upon us to bring life wherever You send us, and awaken us Your purposes and Your destiny. In Jesus' name, amen.